Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in the fourth and final week of our sermon series called Pardon the Interruption, where what we're doing, as you guys know, is we're exploring how sometimes interruptions are not just interruptions, but are actually divine invitations or opportunities where God is calling us to get involved in something bigger than ourselves. Or how many of you over the last 3 weeks, now that we have been talking about and wrestling with all of this, find yourself being interrupted more and more by this God who loves and cares for us? Anybody? Have you noticed if you become more and more aware of this, how God is continuing to call us? God is showing up in places where we wouldn't expect to call us into something bigger or to call us to help. And I hope that is happening for each and every one of you. And yet, to bring this series to a close this morning, what I want to show you, which I think many of us need to hear, is how when it comes to our relationship with God, that our God never considers us and our lives or our problems to be interruptions. And this is something that many people need to hear. Our God never considers our lives or our problems to be interruptions. And to help you to see this, let me start by walking you through one of my favorite parables, the parable of the persistent widow, to help you to begin to see just how true this really is. So Jesus begins in Luke 18:2. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought." And what Jesus is doing in the opening line of this parable is he's setting the scene, telling us about a strange kind of judge, or the kind of judge who doesn't fear God, which means he's not scared of what it is that God might do to him if he gets something wrong or does something bad. And he doesn't fear what people think of him, which means the court of public opinion is not going to be something that in any way influences what this judge thinks. Or in other words, this judge is going to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, because he doesn't care what anyone thinks. The parable continues. "And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary.' But for some time, he," the judge, "refused." Or Jesus goes on to tell us about this persistent widow that keeps coming back to this judge over and over and over again, demanding that he act. And yet, because, again, this judge does not fear God or fear people, this judge just keeps blowing her off over and over and over again. And then to add to that, I think the reason that Jesus makes the woman in this story a widow is because in that time and place, widows don't have any kind of power whatsoever, which tells us that she is not a threat to this judge in any way. So this judge can do whatever he wants to do to her with no repercussions whatsoever. But because this woman never gave up or persistently just kept coming back over and over again, this is how the judge eventually responds to her persistence. "But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.'" Eventually, what this judge does, because this widow just won't leave him alone, even though he doesn't fear God and what other people think, and he doesn't fear this woman, he finally gives in so she will just leave him alone. Or married people, you know this place. Because in the same way, your spouse continues to nag you about getting that one thing done and will not stop until that task is completed. You do it, not because you want to, because you just want some peace. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody's spouses work that way? Yeah. So this is very similar to what's going on in this story. Hey, don't point fingers. We can't point fingers in here. And yet, after Jesus tells this parable, he then goes on to give us an explanation regarding what this parable has to teach us about our relationship with God. He says this: "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly." Or what Jesus seems to be pointing out here is not that God is like this unjust judge who really doesn't care about the people he serves, so we just need to keep annoying him or coming back to him over and over again so he'll finally answer. No, Jesus is actually contrasting what our God is like with this judge, ultimately saying something like, well, if an unjust, uncaring judge will eventually give in to persistence, how much more will a loving and just God who actually cares about our lives respond to those who cry out to him over and over again? Or what I understand Jesus to be saying here, at least in part, is he is basically encouraging us, his people, to pray boldly, persistently, and faithfully because we are never a nuisance to our God. Or that our God, again, never considers us and our problems to be an interruption. And yet, I know for some of you, when you hear this, it doesn't quite make sense to you. And that given all the people in the world and all of their problems, many of which have much larger problems than you, you wonder to yourself, well, how in the world does God have time for all of that? Or how is it that God can keep up with the billions of people on this planet and the billions of problems that they have? I mean, it just doesn't seem possible. And so, in response to that, the way your prayer life works, the way that you commune with God, is you don't interrupt God with the small stuff. No, the only time you find yourself going to God is when you have something that is too big for you to handle. Or in other words, you don't want to interrupt God with the details, so you just call out to God when you are in desperation mode. And yet, what I would like to point out to you about your logic is not only do you greatly underestimate just how big and powerful our God really is, God can handle that, but it's also the case that you just don't get how much our God wants to play a part in every moment of our lives, in big, of course, in big ways, but also in small ways. Because part of what I think this parable has to teach us about what our God wants from us is that our God doesn't just want us to believe in him and then go out and do what we do, and then when something big happens, we call out to him. No, what I think what God wants from us is God wants to be our partner in this. And I really want you to get that. God wants to be our partner in this, or God wants to be the one who walks alongside of us in good times and in bad to help guide and direct us in absolutely everything. Or to give you a metaphor to help this kind of stick in your brain, in the same way good spouses don't do life alone and only show up to help one another when something big happens, but instead are in this thing together, they work as a team to deal with the big and the little things that life throws at them, I would say that is how involved God wants to be in every one of our lives. Or again, God doesn't just want to be there for us when something hits the fan. Or God doesn't just want to come in and play a part in helping you to heal and recover after a bomb has gone off in your life. No, what our God wants is to be so connected to each and every one of us in every part of our life that even when it comes to those small, seemingly insignificant decisions, you know, those ones that we have to make every single day, I think God wants to be a part of even that. Or again, God wants to be our partner in this life. Now, your mouths aren't gaping wide open at this point, which means you missed the point. The creator of the universe, the one who did all of this, and you guys know how big our universe is, you know how complex it is, we've talked about it over and over again. That being wants to be intimately involved in every detail of your life. That God wants to be your partner and walking through this life, helping to guide you every step of the way. I mean, think about that for a moment. Oftentimes, I get up here and preach, and you guys have all heard this 1,000 times before, so you just kind of gloss over it. Yeah, we know that's the way it's supposed to be. Do you get how absolutely amazing that is? Do you get what kind of privilege and honor it is to have a God who wants to be that close, to work in our lives that much? And yet, we choose our own way because that's who we are as human beings, right? Well, maybe we need to see the world a bit differently and choose to live in a different way. And yet, now that you're getting all of that, and in turn, what that means for our lives, if you take it seriously, to take this idea to the next level, I believe that not only is it true that God wants to be our partner, but I also believe that our God cares about our crazy lives so much that what God does is even when we try to do this life by ourselves, or even when we try to live lives disconnected from God, because we've all run from God on occasion, that our God, in an attempt to guide and direct us, oftentimes, again, shows up in our lives in the form of interruptions. Or to think about this in a kind of outside-of-the-box kind of way, to get our attention and to help us to thrive, I believe a lot of the time God acts like the persistent widow, always showing up and never leaving us alone until he finally gets what he wants. Which again, just adds to what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. Or, for example, when I am clearly headed in the wrong direction or find myself doing one of those things that I'm not supposed to do, what usually happens is somehow God shows up in my lives in the most creative ways in an attempt to interrupt my life just enough where I begin to see the error of my ways and stop what I'm doing and turn around. Or one of the ways that I find God interrupting my life way more than I like these days is through my wife and children. Because what these wonderful people like to do for me when I'm clearly not doing what I'm supposed to do is to remind me that I'm a minister and I probably shouldn't do that. Or my favorite, and my youngest is really good at this, they like to remind me of a recent sermon that I just preached and how I'm doing the complete opposite of what I told everyone else to do. Which, of course, is not an interruption that I'm happy to receive in the moment that I'm being called out, but nonetheless, it's an interruption that I'm grateful for because of how it calls me back to where I need to be. And then it's also the case that interruptions can happen when, as you are chasing something big, right? You've got this dream, you've got this goal, you've got this thing that you think belongs to you. You feel called to do it. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, the door slams shut. It's over. Causing you, of course, to have to rethink and regroup and deal with life in a different way. Oftentimes, those are divine interruptions, not bad things, but God saying no to a place that you shouldn't be. Then in a bit more subtle ways, I find that God interrupts our lives in the form of restlessness and discontent, where even though life is exactly as you pictured it to be, life and everything seems to line up just perfectly, there's still something lingering there in the back of your mind telling you to watch out, telling you this is not the place for you, or telling you that there's something bigger for you. And then there's those things called divine nudges. Where as you're going about your day doing what it is that you need to do, for some reason, you get this thought in your mind that just won't go away, where you need to go check on this, or maybe you need to go do that, or there's something going on that you need to deal with and it just won't go away. And when you finally give in to that, you find that if you do listen, that God really was trying to get your attention. And then, of course, there's everyone's favorite way that God likes to interrupt our lives, and that's conviction, right? Conviction. After we have done something, said something, almost immediately we feel it in the depth of our being that we have done something sinful and wrong, and so we need to stop. Or what I hope you guys are beginning to see about these divine interruptions is God is not doing this just to interrupt our lives, to make our lives miserable. No, this is a loving God showing up in our lives to help us, to guide and direct us, to call us in a different direction, to be the one that shows us that there's more out there for us if we'll just listen, if we'll just hold on, if we'll just follow. Which, of course, these are just a few of the ways, the multitude of ways, that God goes about persistently interrupting our lives, helping us, trying to help us, to live into the life that is truly life. And in turn, I think what all of that has to teach us today as a people who have given our lives to serving this God of interruptions is that, again, your life and all that you have going on is not an interruption for God. Whether that be as big as facing death to as small as making decisions about how to handle your friend Becky's drama, because let's be honest, all Becky's come with a bit of drama. And even more than that, this is actually what God longs for each and every one of us. So that instead of trying to do this confusing life all by ourselves, which doesn't end well, our God wants to help us no matter the situation as our partner, the one who walks with us every step of the way. And then what I also hope you're starting to see, that our God cares about us so much that even when we don't ask, and oftentimes even when we don't want it, our persistent God, just like that widow, is going to keep interrupting us in an attempt to guide and direct us towards the people he created us to be. And all because, again, sometimes interruptions are not just interruptions or annoying events or people showing up in our lives to waste our time, but are actually divine opportunities or God showing up to try to get our attention. And so may you learn to pay a bit more attention to those interruptions that will continue to happen in your life, just to make sure you don't miss what it is that God is trying to tell you. You don't miss what it is that God is calling you to do, or you don't miss that opportunity to live into the life that is truly life. Because let me just remind you, when you look at the life of Jesus and you read through all of that, what you're going to find over and over again is that Jesus' life is just made up of one interruption after the other. People showing up in his life, called to go in different directions over and over again. And so, to a certain extent, that teaches us that we need to pay a whole lot more attention if we want to walk side by side in partnership with our God. Let us pray. Father, again, we come to you this morning so grateful for this series that is opening our eyes to seeing that interruptions are not just interruptions, but oftentimes opportunities. Opportunities where you are calling us into something bigger. Opportunities or where you're trying to get our attention and trying to get us to stop. And also, Lord, opportunities where we actually get to make a difference in someone else's lives. So help us, Lord, to embrace that. But even more than that, oh Lord, help us to see that you do not consider us and our lives, the little bitty tiny things that we deal with every single day, an interruption. No, you want to be a part of helping us to live into the life that is truly life, even in the details. Lord, we pray all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless, and have a great week.